This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Erskine College Sligo break new ground in school soccer. They're the new FAI Schoolgirls Connacht Senior Cup champions. Team coach Brian Chambers will tell us how it was done. Here comes the start of the Little National Football League for Sligo and Leitrim women's Gaelic footballers in Division 4. Kieran Kilkenny and Johnny Gaverty will lay out the hopes in their respective counties. Plus, Sligo's biggest chess tournament has got a whole lot bigger. We'll introduce you to the new 10-day Sligo Chess and Culture Festival with the help of Festival Director Craig DeBose. Welcome to the final whistle. If you'd like to get in touch, 083 3500 530 is the WhatsApp and text number. The email address is sport@oceanfm.ie, or you can find regular Ocean FM sport news and updates on Blue Sky. We're giving that a try. Just search for Ocean FM Sport to find our feed. Also coming up, Eski reflections on that heartbreak of last Saturday's All-Ireland Junior Club Hurling Final at Croke Park. But we're going to begin with a landmark day for the Erskine College in Sligo. They won the FAI Schoolgirls Connacht Senior A Cup title for large schools, a 5-2 victory over Presentation College Athenry. That game was played in Westport. Two of the Erskine Sligo Rovers players were key to the victory. Mairead McIntyre scored twice, Rachel McGoldrick scored twice, and Susan Martin scored the fifth. Brian Chambers is the team's head coach, but as he told Ocean FM Sport, it wasn't as clear-cut as the full-time scoreline today might suggest.
No, tighter than that, to be honest. And we had actually played Athenry in the league a couple of months ago, and it was 5-2 as well. It was touch and go for parts of the game, like when they got back to 2-1, especially for me, it was pretty tight. You know, we opened it out to 3-1 again. And we were comfortable enough probably from that point on. But yeah, tighter than it suggests, definitely.
And quality always tells in the end. You had Sligo Rovers players Mairead McIntyre and Rachel McGoldrick on the score sheet today.
Yes, and Rachel got player of the match there as well. Look, two superb and experienced players now with Rovers senior team, but also younger Rovers players there like Susan Martin, you know, Laura Hunter, Sophie Herbert, you know. So, and they're just under 15s playing up to senior. So yeah, a lot of Rovers experience there, and it tells for us, no doubt about that.
We remember the Erskine College winning lots of titles at Connacht Schools level in sports like hockey. It's hard to remember a win of this scale at senior grade for the Erskine.
Yeah, it happened at under 14 in the past, I think, all right, when they went all the way to win in All-Ireland and went to England to play in the Reid Trophy. But at senior level, I don't think so, yeah.
You coach a few of the school soccer teams at the Erskine, Brian. What might this win do for the game in the Erskine?
Well, even given the support we had here today, there were a lot of the younger players from the under 15 and under 14 side here supporting. So it's going to lift them, you know, and their season is just about to start. So a win like this, I think, will lift the whole school, to be honest. And it was a spread of age groups as well. Like, this was a senior final, but we had seniors there. We had under 17s and we had four under 15s. So, you know, it's a whole school effort, I suppose.
And a bit like the school curriculum, there's no time for rest because you now have an All-Ireland semi-final to get ready for.
That's right. In 2 weeks' time now, on the 27th, against Loretto Milford from Donegal. So, yeah, looking forward to that. But it'll come around pretty quick, yeah.
That's Brian Chambers, Erskine College soccer coach, on their FAI Schools Connacht Senior Cup final success in Westport. 5-2 winners over Presentation College Athenry. That All-Ireland semi against Loretto of Milford is scheduled for Tuesday week, the 27th of January. It's National Football League time for Sligo and Leitrim women's Gaelic footballers. They start their Division 4 campaign this Sunday with away trips. For Sligo, it's Follow Me Up to Carlow. For Leitrim, it's the relatively short journey to Glennon Brothers, Pierce Park and Longford. Divisions 1, 2 and 3 of the Women's National League don't start until the following weekend, so we're going to concentrate on Division 4 for a few moments. First to Sligo, who reached National League and All-Ireland Junior Championship semi-finals in 2025. Now it's about trying to build on that. Here is the Sligo manager, who's Ross Inver by birth, but now starting his second season in charge, Kieran Kilkenny.
We're happy with where we are. I think last year was hugely positive. Two semi-finals. They were our targets at the beginning of the year, was to make the two semi-finals. And we achieved that. So this year is about building on top of that and hoping that we can go one step further. We're looking for promotion out of Division 4. It's easier said than done. There's a lot of good teams still in Division 4 and it can be hard to get out. But that'll be our first target anyway before we move on to Championship.
You're a Leitrim man of origin. Your home county will remind you how hard it is to get out of this division. Leitrim have been knocking on the door good-oh for the last few seasons now when it comes to league football.
Yeah, they have, and you'd expect them to go up every single year over the past 3-4 years. You're just waiting for them to get promoted and it just hasn't happened for them. Every year you think they're just going to go up and it can be difficult. Like, once you go down, it can be incredibly difficult to go straight back up, and if you get stuck in a rut, you could find yourself down there for a few years because every other year then you've got good teams coming back down and their aim is to get back up as well.
The age profile of this Sligo senior team has always felt very young, particularly in the last couple of years. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it is, yeah. We're still the minor girls that are coming up from the minor All-Ireland B title 2 years ago. We've got 7 of those girls now in with us this year. We had 6 or 7 come in last year. So the age profile is still young. We're still building those girls into the team, integrating them into the more experienced players. So yeah, we're still a young team, and while a lot was done last year, it probably wasn't all achievable in 1 year, and we think it'll take another year just to build those younger players into the team and integrate everyone.
Have you set clear goals that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, of course, it's fairly straightforward. Like, we want to get out of Division 4. That's our target, and that'll be everyone's target that's playing Division 4 football. It's no secret that we want to get promoted. So winning that semi-final, getting into the semi-final for a start, winning that semi-final will guarantee us Division 3 football next year. We believe we can be competitive at that level. So it's just about getting into that semi-final, winning it and moving into a final. We haven't really thought about winning a Division 4 title. It's the promotion is what's on our mind at the moment. And then Championship, we'd like to go one step further. One step further brings us to Croke Park. We don't know where we are just yet for Championship. It's a long way off. We're just looking at the league for now.
The other modification this year in women's football, the LGFA is trialling 12 new rule changes for the league. And to the untrained or those who are used to watching men's football, league football in the LGFA is going to look a lot more like the men's game now. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's closer in line. So the rules are pretty much, they're very similar. There's a couple of the men's rules that are not brought in, but you've got contact is now in the ladies' game, which has always been part of the men's game. You've the 3 up and 3 back, so that's been brought in. The breach is brought in, and you've got the 2-pointers been brought in for the scoring. What effect that'll have on the ladies' game, we don't know just yet. But yeah, it's more in line with the men's game, and I think overall the contact is probably what the players are looking forward to the most.
Yeah, the solo and go is in there as well. On the whole, are you happy to see these rules brought in?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think the players are delighted. It's something new for them that they can get stuck into. It's part of the game that they've always been held back on, maybe, that they weren't allowed to have the contact that they wish to bring into the games. I suppose when you're making good tackles or you're contesting a ball and you're getting pulled on it or you're picking up yellow cards, that's frustrating for players. So it kind of removes that element from the game, knowing that they're allowed to have this bit of contact now. So they'll be happy with that. And then solo and go, that speeds things up a bit. Like, it stops teams from setting their defensive setup up straight away, so it kind of takes that element out of the game as well. So yeah, it's all good so far. It's working well.
You start this Sunday against Carlow.
Yeah, we're away to Carlow at 2 o'clock. I think it's in SETU at 2 o'clock on Sunday, yeah.
And what's your sense? I think you've got more away games than home games this year, or is it 50-50?
Yeah, you're right. We're 4 away and we're 3 at home this year. It was the other way last year. So yeah, we've to travel 4 times and we're home 3.
Does home advantage make a difference?
It does when you have the support coming out, yeah. And we were well supported last year. We had 4 home games in the league last year. We won 3 of them. So I suppose that's positive. And yeah, it does. Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, it's good to get the support.
And an early winning start obviously helps generate momentum.
Yeah, we've tough game away to Carlow. They've got their act together again there this year. They're back down from Division 3. They'll be looking to go back up. They've a lot of the same players back. They've their management team that won them the Division 4 title 2 years ago back with them this year. So they're going to be strong. They had a bit of success against Sligo in the past, so they'll be using that. And of course, we're going down to them, so we're the ones travelling to them. But if we could pick up a win on Sunday and then bring that into the Derry game, that's at home, but we know that Derry are going to be a challenge for us as well. And then our third game is Leitrim. So our first three games are quite tough. It's a hard start to the season.
Sounds like it. That's Sligo manager Kieran Kilkenny. And round one this Sunday takes them to Carlow. We'll bring you that game live in full on Ocean FM from 2 o'clock. At the same time, Johnny Gaverty's Leitrim will make their league start against Longford. Leitrim have been trying desperately to get out of Division 4 for a few seasons now. Gaverty, who guided Leitrim to an All-Ireland Intermediate title a couple of years ago, is beginning his fourth season in charge of the team.
It's something that I will do as long as I'm enjoying the challenge and, you know, being motivated to work with the players and have a great relationship with the county board. And at the moment, all of those things are, you know, fantastic. So I'm more than happy to continue in place, yeah.
Leitrim had the rare distinction last year, Johnny, of being a Division 4 league team playing senior TG Cahir Championship football. And while the results were tough to take at the time against the top-tier teams, do you feel Leitrim are a better team as a result of that experience?
Well, that remains to be seen. I think that what it has done is provided us with opportunities to grow and to learn. You know, our job as a management team is to encourage the girls to learn those lessons, and their job as players is to try to progress and use those lessons to improve. And I definitely do feel that those experiences will stand to the girls and you know, if used in a positive manner, there's no doubt that it can improve them as footballers and it can improve us as a team.
Without sounding like a broken record, John Connolly in the Leitrim Observer this week, I think, referenced the fact that Leitrim have contested 2 Division 4 league finals and 3 more semi-finals in recent years. You've been trying your damnedest to get out of this league.
Yeah, and ironically, you know, there has been a few different formats over the course of, you know, COVID and post-COVID. And we have seen, you know, one winner go up at some point. And on the at those occasions, with, you know, and when both finalists go up, on those occasions when beaten in the semi-final, you know, most notably when we were in the injury time. So we've certainly been knocking on the door. We've certainly came as close as you can really come to going without doing it. So, look, we're re-energized. We're just going to, you know, hopefully we can get over the line this year.
Okay, the quality of the line just starting to break up, but we'll persevere with it for another couple of minutes. This season's format, I think it's the top four make the league semi-finals. Is that the format you'd prefer?
You know, I'm quite format is in place because everybody knows the script before we begin and you can have no complaints thereafter. I do still find it a little hard to explain why in, you know, 4 divisions of 8 teams, why there is a different format for one of the 4 divisions. Nevertheless, it is what it is. We're happy enough. You know, the first aim for us is to reach the last 4. The second aim is to gain promotion by winning that semi-final. And the final aim is to go on to win the league itself. But I'm sure we're not unique in having those aims.
Sure. I suppose to put it another way, the fact that 4 teams make the playoffs maybe gives counties a small bit of wriggle room that if you have an off day down the country, it's not as detrimental than a straight top 2 making a league final.
Yeah, 100%. And maybe that wriggle room allows you to be, you know, a little bit more experimental at times in your team selection and things like that. We seen that last year where we actually come out of the group stage having won 3, lost 3 and drawn 1. So it was anything but prolific. But we've done enough to get through to the semi-finals, and we really utilised our playing panel and give a fantastic experience to some of the younger players. We're hopeful that'll stand to us this year when we look at some of those younger players as key members of the team now this year. And we hope to go one further at least.
Looking at your playing personnel this season, Johnny, on the club front, we watched Glen Carmanor Hamilton come very close to reaching a Connacht senior club final. They were edged out in Bogán before Christmas by St. Bridget's of Roscommon. What sort of person is your squad largely the same? Have you had to make do without many familiar faces, or what's the turnover been like over the winter?
It's a considerable turnover, and those tend to be. I think that when you look at the personnel who has stayed in place, it's the vast majority of the team, which is good. But we have lost some players, some important panel members, and then we've lost real experience, leadership, and character in the likes of Claire, who has stepped away, Claire Owens. And I certainly don't want to put words in her mouth, but it probably will be the end of her career. And what an unbelievable servant she has been. So she'll be hard to replace on and off the field. And there's others like, Molly Murphy, Michelle Monaghan at the moment who aren't in the panel. But we've recruited really well. We're delighted with the girls we've brought. And in some cases, we've brought players that we've been trying to convince to come out for several seasons. So we think that we've come out in fantastic shape, and we're really looking forward to utilising the players we have at our disposal.
One final thought, Johnny. You have 12 new rules being trialled in the National League in 2026, and you've probably got a taste of that in challenge matches, I'm guessing, in the run-up to the start of this league. Are you encouraged, excited by the league, by the rule changes? They mirror many of the men's rule tweaks of recent times. What are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, look, I think some of them have the potential to maybe add to the flow of the game and maybe reward braver teams or teams that like to play a bit more direct. And I think that the rules are less likely to impact us in a negative manner than some teams, perhaps because we like to leave a few players up. We like to deliver the ball early, and we like to play a fast transition and play on the front foot. And anybody who's been watching us over the course of the last 3 or 4 years will know that. So things like keeping the players back, three players back in your own half, and breaching the halfway line, things like that, hopefully won't be a huge issue for us. We keep the players up there anyway. Things like solo and go, I think we can really benefit from. We've got good fielders, so the kick out mark could be something that perhaps we can utilise. And one that really I'm encouraged by is that there is a little bit more physicality allowed in the game, and I think that looking at our personnel again, it may just fit in for us. So I'm looking forward to it. I think we've got the personnel to benefit from some of the rules. But ultimately, it's the same game, it's the same skill set. We've got similar players. So it's going to be a case of, can we go out and implement our game plan and play with heart and play clever and win the game, earn the win. And that's what we'll be looking to do now from Sunday on.
That's Leitrim manager Johnny Gaverty on the start of the National League Division 4 this weekend. We'll have updates on the Longford-Leitrim match on Sunday, as well as commentary on Carlow against Sligo. The other Division 4 matches are Derry against Kilkenny and Wicklow against Offaly. When we come back, reflections on Eastkey Hurlers Crow Park agony last weekend. Plus, Craig DeBose will talk to us about the all-new Sligo Chess and Culture Festival. Eastkey have announced that it will host a meet and greet evening for the club's All-Ireland Hurling finalists next Friday week, the 23rd of January, in the Eastkey Community Centre. It'll start at 7:30. And the event will acknowledge the team's club championship run, which ended in agony last Saturday with that 1-point loss to Kilbritton of Cork at Crow Park. Shortly, we're going to hear from some of the players and management when they arrived back in the West Sligo village last Sunday night. But first, a reminder, if you can bear it, of the final itself.
So here is the start of the game. It's going to be Eastkey. Will they be heroes, Eastkey and St. Farnan's, or not? It's underway. The ball is in the midfield and it's broken down. There is Niall Cullen goes battling in for it, and Fionn Connolly as well. It's still on the floor, but Eastkey pick it up with Finian Cawley. He's going through. Finian Cawley tries to bring in Donal Hanley into paper. Kilbritton work to get that one back. It's back on the floor again. It's a scramble with Daniel Roston. We've got 18 seconds gone. Remember, 3 years ago in the final, when Eastkey played Ballygibbon, they gave away a score after 9 seconds. Here they're going through for a score of their own to settle things down. It's Finian Cawley back to Aina Moylan. Moylan pops that in and pops it over the bar. 32 seconds gone. Eastkey have taken the lead here. It's the first score for the Sea Blues. Aina Moylan has put that over the bar. All the work from Finian Cawley.
Great work from Finian Cawley. You know, won two battles there and one flicked the ball out to Aina Moylan. Dead straight in front of goals. Great start for Eastkey.
And Eastkey win that Kilbritton restart. Rory McCuno pops it inside. Is there space for Thomas Cawley to run into? Well, there's a lot of space. They're playing in Croke Park, and Thomas Cawley does well to flick that one up. Oh, that's a tight angle. That's a lovely shot. That's sweet and over the bar. 1:02. Thomas Cawley has pinged that one over off the right hand side, and Rory McHugh with that lovely popped pass into space. And we just mentioned that the start against Ballygiblin 3 years ago, here they are against Kilbritton, and they're 2 points to no score up, Paul.
Dream start, but very noticeable there. Rory McHugh had Andy Kilcullen right in front of him, decided not to give it to him. Do you know, they're not just going to blob everything into Andy to give the fullback a chance to come out and mark him, and he switched corners, diagonal ball into Tomás Cawley. Brilliant point from under the Hogan stand on the sideline.
Sideline cut from Andrew Kilcullen. Has this one gone over? Yes, it has. Lovely piece of skill from Andrew Kilcullen. His fourth point of the day. His third from, his fourth from the day. One from a free. One from, we can see it there on the screens. It's a great resource to have the replay in front of us. What about that as a piece of skill?
Well, if you were a neutral here, you'd be saying which is the team from Cork and which is the team from Sligo. And, you know, we were all talking and laughing about that. But so far, and there should be another free in there, Tomás Cawley has a chance to put another one on it.
As they drive the ball downfield, they took that restart short. It's with Niall Kilcullen, and Niall Kilcullen can fire this one in around the house. Looking for his brother, Andrew. Oh, he's got it. Andrew is through. He's tackled by three players. He's dragged to the ground, and he scored his goal. Oh, what's happening here? What's been given? He got the ball into the net. He kicked it in. We'll see it on the screen, but are they going to...
The ref was playing the advantage, but he must have blown when he had the ball, and then he put it into the net. He kicked it in with the left foot. But the ref, and he's going to go back. It's not even a penalty. It's a 21-yard free.
So he was... Well, we can see it here. He went through. He burrowed his way through. We saw on the replay on screen... 25 minutes gone. I nearly lost my voice, but I'll have to hold on to that because no goal. It's a free in. Surely he's not going to go for a goal here. No, he fires that one in and fires that one over. Andrew Kilcullen has got point number 5 for the afternoon here at Croke Park in the AIB GAA Hurling All-Ireland Junior Club Championship Final. It's Eastkey 11, Kilbritton 7. And should that have been allowed
for a goal? Oh, it's an awful decision by the ref. Like, sure, he gave the advantage to the team that were fouling. You know, he pulled back a goal. When you get an advantage, it should be until it plays out and then go back for the free. It happened earlier. And he pulls him back then and gives him a free, and I think it's a terrible decision.
Monroe does well, and he gets it out. Oh, lovely play from Monroe. Tries to get it to Finian Cawley. The ball is spilled to the floor. Andrew Kilcullen is there. First touch from Kilcullen is important. He's tackled. Kilcullen goes in. There's a challenge from Andrew Kilcullen on Mark Hickey. What do you think of that, Paul?
It was a frontal challenge. Andrew tried to flick the ball up and miscontrolled it. Mark Hickey went for the ball and Andrew caught him high frontally. He might get a yellow card, but nothing more than that in it. And to be honest with you, just the momentum feels to be shifting a small little bit to Kilbritton, even though, you know, Eastkey, the game is still level. Kilbritton seem to be on the front foot a little bit more than Eastkey. You have more attacks since half time. So if I was Eastkey or Primean, I'd be trying to just get get a little bit of momentum back, maybe get down the field, get a couple of scores. Andy is coming a bit deep, get back to shape again, as the referee is talking sternly to Andrew here. But a yellow card is all it is at most.
So a yellow card, we hope, for Andrew Kilcullen. Oh, it's a red card for Andrew Kilcullen. Andrew Kilcullen in the 10th minute of this second half. A red card for Andrew Kilcullen after that tackle on Mark Hickey. And he's the player that had a ball in the net in the first half, not given. And there it's given as a red card. I did think it was just yellow card, but it's a red for Andrew Kilcullen. Eastkey down to 14 players. The ball is broken away, and that's it. The full-time whistle, 33 minutes and 27 seconds. Oh, dear. That is absolute heartbreak for Eastleigh. They've lost by a point here, 19-18 to Kilbritton from Cork. And Paul,
we're here in the castle in Eastleigh. The Eastleigh team have just made it back. Crowd meeting them on the streets as they made their homecoming after their defeat by 1 point to Kilbritton of Cork in the Junior All-Ireland Hurling Final. I'm joined by Padraig Mannion, Michael Conway, Onru McGowan, and Oisín Moylan is here with me as well. Padraig, it was tough day yesterday in Croke Park, a tough defeat, but a team that performed out of their skin and left nothing on the pitch.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah, look, it was probably my toughest ever day on the sideline, and my heart goes out to the boys. Like, they didn't deserve what happened, but that's what can you do about it now?
It was a tough hour of hurling, but the team, as I say, played an absolute blinder. They left everything on the pitch. Couple of decisions made by the referee. I know you're not happy about it. Eastleigh fans are not happy about it. Paul Severs was beside me in the commentary box during the game, and he was in disbelief. I thought he was going to jump out of his seat down onto the pitch at one stage with a couple of them. Tell us what was going through your head at that stage.
Look, it was a savage hour of hurling. Like, we spent the week trying to say we get 60 minutes out of the lads, and every one of them hurled out of their skin. From one to the three or four subs we were on, every one of them were brilliant. But look, everyone knows our feelings on what happened with the officiate in the game. So, look, we're just gutted for the lads, really, more than sort of anything. The amount of effort these lads have put in for the last 6 months since myself and Declan started coming down, it's unbelievable. Like, you know, Declan brought a new intensity to training, that just in changing the voice, and the lads seem to buy into it. And between the two of us and Mick and Thomas Roston, like, I think we got the best out of them on Saturday, and we're just gutted.
Michael, the team performed so well, and I suppose yesterday, after a couple of years ago, you know, losing the final previously, to go back to Croke Park again, and I know the intention the first time was to win the cup. This time we're serious contenders to win the cup. To walk away out of Croke Park without that cup, though, where does this team go from here?
Yeah, look, I think we were serious contenders in our own group and in our own dressing room. But outside of that, I don't think too many people gave us much of a chance. But they really proved all the doubters wrong, and they really made a stamp on their own ability, and really done justice to the work they've put in and other people have put in with them over the last, you know, decade or more. And it is so disappointing to lose, and in the manner they lost in, and it's so disappointing for such a decision to be made at the flick of a switch when there's so much technology there to review it, and so much is on the line, and so much work and effort and dedication and heartache has gone into the preparation of it. But they really, we could not have asked for any more. I think Padraig said, we asked for 60 minutes. We probably got 60 minutes better than what we asked for, being honest.
Oh, we did. We were saying we played in the semi-final. We didn't play for the first 20 minutes. Then we played 15 minutes brilliant. Then we started the second half well, and then we died away again in the semi-final. So we only probably played 30 minutes in the semi-final. And we asked the boys, can we put 60 minutes together? And I think it was probably bare when Kilbritton probably got a purple patch for about 5 minutes after Andy getting sent off. After that, I think we were the better team by a country mile.
Yeah, I was saying it to the boys up in the commentary position after the game when we were just chatting about it. When Andy got sent off, it never looked like the team had lost a man. The team really gelled together. I was looking through afterwards, six different scorers, I think it was, on the pitch. Do you know, it was an effort from all 15 players.
Look, we were probably in the lucky situation, and I know when Andy got sent off, it's disappointing, it's unlucky. But in the Connacht final against Bannisloe, Andy was kept out of the game, he didn't score from play, and the rest of the boys stepped up, and they stepped up again on Saturday when our tallies man, like, you know, he had 17 or 15 goals and 77 points scored in the championship before Saturday. Like, I don't think there's a hurler in the country that has that done.
No, it was an unbelievable performance, and 6 points then in the time he was on the pitch yesterday. Unro, it's a tough pill to swallow. Coming back to Eastgate this evening, we've spoken side earlier on, this made it a little bit more difficult coming back to see the fans, but it's nice to see that the fans are still behind you and that you're still supporting you.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's unreal. Like, the community we have here behind us is absolutely unbelievable. Like, I don't think there's a team, like, anywhere around, the support that we have is just unreal. Like, after training, we have whatever we want, but, like, Park is laughing at me here, but, like, it's unreal. It's so sickening that the support we had today, we didn't have the cup with us. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just shadowing over the whole night. Like, we deserve to win that game 100%. I believe it in my whole heart. We deserve to win that game 110%. Like, every man on the pitch gave their life for that game today, or yesterday, and we didn't get the result, but, you know, we can be proud of ourselves, but it's just sickening we didn't get the silverware, you know what I mean? It's just so sickening.
It's back to the drawing board for this team. You'll be here again next year, hopefully.
Yeah, look, like, the team is, like Finney and Cawley, probably oldest player starting, was he?
Yeah, 28.
Yeah, 28, like, sure, that man, the shape he's in, like, he's able to go for 10 years more, like, easy, like. But look, everyone keeps their head up, like, we've been here before, we can come back, one more, we can bring it back better, like.
Aina Moylan, Owen Roe McGowan, Michael Conway and Eastgate manager Porrick Mannion speaking to Daniel Gallagher last Sunday night. The Eastgate meet and greet for supporters is Friday week the 23rd in the community centre at 7:30. Now, the Sligo Chess Tournament has developed into one of the country's most popular events in the sport each year, but the 2026 edition is evolving. It's now becoming a 10-day festival called the Sligo Chess and Culture Festival, and it's going to run from the 30th of January to the 8th of February at the Diamond Coast Hotel in Enniscrone. Festival director Craig DuBose has been explaining why Sligo's big chess extravaganza is moving from a weekend event to a full-on festival.
Well, last year we sold out, we maxed out capacity of the weekend tournament about 3 weeks ahead of time, about 225 players. And, you know, we've always had ambitions to go bigger, to become more of an international attractor for the region. But, you know, we always had ambitions to be a bigger event. And since we sold out so far ahead of time last year, we thought, okay, you know, we have this good foundation. We have our brand, which is well known in Ireland. We're probably, I'd say we're widely described or acknowledged as the highest quality chess event in Ireland. That reputation is getting better known in the UK and it's starting to seep into Europe as well. So it just seemed, based on the performance numbers last year, that this was the year now to kind of make the jump from a weekend tournament to a 10-day four-tournament festival.
And you talk about culture being part of this 10-day festival, but chess, the sport of chess, is still at the heart of what you're doing here.
Yeah, certainly the core of the festival are the four tournaments going on. So you have the original weekend tournament, the 30th to the 1st. That's always been there, that will always be there, and that'll be sort of the most populated tournament that we have, particularly in the first year. But then after that, on starting on the Monday, we'll have our 9-round open tournament, and that will be much more international, much stronger players, and the players from Ireland who are sort of just below master level, they'll come to that and participate because they want to try to earn credit towards master level titles if they can get certain performances. And then on the second weekend, the 7th and 8th of February, we'll have a blitz tournament, which is speed chess, in the morning of the 7th. And then in the afternoon of the 7th, we'll have workshops, simultaneous exhibitions, talks, lots of things for the public to interact with. And then on the Sunday, there'll be the rapid tournament, which again is another form of speed chess. So yeah, we have those four tournaments at the core, but it's not just the chess tournaments anymore. There are other things going on. like I mentioned, various workshops, talks, those sort of things, social events even. The Saturday nights will have some parties, some themed parties as well that the public is welcome to attend. So, yeah, it's obviously that the tournaments form the core of the event, but it is a festival. There are other things going on, and in fact, even beyond the tournaments themselves, we have a couple of mornings where we had nothing going on, so we're inviting regional primary schools in one day and regional secondary schools in another day to come use the professional setup, world-class setup, to have their own sort of event to kind of take advantage of that setup to have place in tournaments, essentially. Lots of other stuff going on.
And just one more question in terms of the chess. You've been able to attract Ireland's best chess players in recent years, but now you're pushing that international dimension to attract overseas players, it sounds like.
Yeah. The great thing about the nine-round tournament is that if the field is sufficiently strong, then players can earn credit towards master-level titles, and particularly, in this case, international master title. And, you know, that is not something that is rare for Ireland. Ireland has one other tournament put on by the Irish Chess Union that is eligible for master-level title credit, essentially. But that's a closed tournament. That's 10 players, half of which may be Irish, and you have to get invited or not. This is an open tournament where potentially 225 players could all play and be eligible, work towards these master-level title credits. So it's certainly unique in that sense. It's the only one of its kind that is open in Ireland, and only there's probably only 2 9-round tournaments in Ireland, full stop, including this one. So we want to bring that top level competition to Ireland to benefit Irish players and you know, to give them exposure to not just be playing Irish players, playing other Irish players all the time. We want to bring in the strong competition to benefit Irish chess.
Now, the central location for the Sligo Chess and Culture Festival is the Diamond Coast Hotel in Enniscrone. This is very much a West Sligo location. Is that important for you in terms of where this is being based?
Well, the hotel itself, the Diamond Coast, has a very large ballroom and has a few other functions that make it easy for us to work with them. But also, I think from a different perspective, from an economic perspective, you know, we're happy to be based in an area that perhaps doesn't see the same kind of footfall as other areas of Sligo. And also, you know, along the same lines, you know, this is in the off season. You know, we're talking about end of January, beginning of February. So again, not a lot of tourism going on necessarily at that time. So we're happy to be an event, be a festival that can attract not just domestic the population from Dublin and other counties, but also, you know, international, to bring people to this area. And part of our strategy, again, to attract the international crowds is to say, look, yes, of course, come play this premium top level chess event, but also, you know, have a look around Sligo, have a look around Mayo, have a look around Ireland. You know, it doesn't have to be just the chess. You can also attach on a visit, a bit of a holiday as well. And that's certainly part of our strategy. So, yeah, I mean, the 5 kilometer beach, Enniscrone is obviously a beautiful, picturesque little place. And that is part of our strategy to attract international players.
You have a new website, SligoChessFestival.com, where people can look at the festival schedule and get information and details if they want to plan a trip to West Sligo. And from that website, Craig, it's very clear this is going to be about more than chess.
Yeah. I want to make it as easy as possible for the general public to interact with the festival. So it's the first year. Perhaps people don't know what to expect. So if people can just go to the website, as you say, SligoChessFestival.com, then there'll be something on you know, the front page where you can just kind of click into it and see a schedule of all the things that you can, you know, whether you don't have to be playing in the tournament, you can just come and say, for example, even if you've never played chess before, there will be beginner workshops scheduled through the week, through the 10 days, I should say. If maybe you play a little bit and you want to come do a puzzle rush, which is kind of a series of chess puzzles, and just try to see how fast you can do each one and then get some sort of score at the end. There'll be talks by chess players, by authors talking about the psychology of movement, a simultaneous exhibition where one master level player will play kind of 12 players all at the same time, just walking around the room making his move and they make their moves. So, yeah, I want people to come check the website out, see how they might get involved. I mean, social events, like I said, we're hoping to have a stargazing astronomy event. So it's not necessarily all chess. It's also just to animate the area, to have something to kind of come do and look at. So, yeah, check out the website, and there'll be a schedule on there to see how you might, some events you can kind of come do that are not just chess tournaments.
Remind us of the dates for the Sligo Chess and Culture Festival again.
So the we kick off on Friday, January 30th, which is the start of the Weekender tournament, and then we finish on Sunday, February 8th. So that whole time, during the week, on the weekends, there will be things going on. And so, I encourage you all to check out the website and see what things there might be to do and when they are, and so they can come and participate.
What's the age profile like in terms of the competitors, Craig? Is it all adults, or do you have younger players taking part?
Oh, no, that's one of the idiosyncrasies of chess, is that there is such, I mean, obviously to play chess, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your gender, orientation of any kind. It just doesn't matter. Everybody gets sat down and you know, you're good or you're not, or you win or you lose or you draw, whatever. So we have, I think we have a player born in 1941, and we also have players born in 2018. So, you know, one of the funny things about chess tournaments is you often get the photograph of, you know, the 6-year-old playing, or even younger, playing against the 90-something-year-old. And that's just one of the things about chess. The whole age ranges from 5, 6, whatever, up to 90-something. You know, they're all, and even outside of the ages, by the way. Yeah, they're all welcome, and they all do play.
That's Craig DeBose on the new Sligo Chess and Cultural Festival, which runs in West Sligo from Friday the 30th of January to Sunday the 8th of February. For more, see the festival website, sligochessfestival.com. A reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your pods, search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back next week. Same time, same place.